It's cold in here. There must be some Toros in the atmosphere. I said burp. It's cold in here. There must be some Toros in the atmosphere. Hello and welcome to the next episode of Matt and Todd Go to the Movies with special guest Tim Davis. This is the podcast where all three of us went and saw a movie at our local Regal Cinema Theater, and now we're going to talk about it in the parking structure right next door, right after the movie. Giving you all that good reaction, we're going to talk about such things as, should you see this movie, should you not see this movie, should you bring a date, should you go by yourself, can you bring kids, can you snack, should you nap, you know, should you just not go at all. We'll talk about all these things, maybe, try, we will. There's a lot of people walking around us right now, so there's probably going to be plenty of distractions tonight. But I am Todd Domer.
And I'm Matt Malloy, and welcome to another episode. Yes, we're here. And I appreciate the Bring It On reference song tonight, Todd. Do you remember this bit of trivia? The chant that you gave was used.
The Toros.
Yes. Do you remember what the mascot was that that chant was stolen from?
The Clovers?
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. All right.
Bring It On trivia for the win. Well, anyway, we saw a movie, too. Not just Bring It On trivia. And it wasn't Bring It On. It was, in fact, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So this is the latest in the Ghostbusters saga of movies that may or may not be connected, depending on who's in them and when they came out and various other things. But this one is connected to a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people in it as well. So, as tradition holds, Tim, please tell us who we know in this movie.
Well, this being a direct sequel to Afterlife, our new cast of Ghostbusters are present. We have Paul Rudd, you know, the ubiquitous Paul Rudd, who's been in a million things at this point, household name. Carrie Coon is back as Egon's daughter slash the mother of the main kid characters in this. Finn Wolfhard and McKenna Grace are back as the kids, they're, you know, it's the whole family, basically. And then, of course, we have some of the original Ghostbusters are back in this. Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, they're all here. Annie Potts is back as well. And we even have the return of Walter Peck, the actor being William Atherton, who was the sort of nemesis in New York City for the Ghostbusters, as he is back in this. And he was also in a few other movies, playing kind of the same character in everything he played. We also have appearances by Patton Oswalt. He plays some kind of like a supernatural historian. And Kumail Nanjiani, I don't know if he's a household name yet, but he's been starting to pop up in a lot more stuff. He's a comedian, and he was in Marvel's Eternals as well. I think that's most it for all the big names, wouldn't you agree?
I would.
Yeah. I would as well. So, great. Well, what's this movie about? Well, this movie's about busing ghosts. What else do you need to know?
Yeah.
Well, I'll try and give you a brief summary without spoiling the plot of the movie.
Yeah. That's
our charge. Mostly
most
we do that. But, yeah,
I'm just glad you have your own Tobey Maguire incident. Because I've been the only one for a long time.
Well, so in this movie, the new Ghostbusters are on the scene in New York City, where they are located, and they are firmly entrenched in busting ghosts wherever they go. An ancient artifact is discovered. This houses godlike demon, somehow that gets out, and then they've got to stop it. And so that's sort of the premise of the movie. And, you know, there's lots of little side twists and turns and various characters coming of age and learning about themselves, as we do in these types of movies. And it all wraps up with a big baddie fight at the end, and that's what I'm going to say about this movie. And Todd, I'll ask you for your Stay Puffed Marshmallow thoughts, your gut reactions of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Well, I'm going to be brutally honest right now, is that I'm walking out a little disappointed. And I think there's a couple reasons like that. I don't expect anyone to really agree with what I'm saying. It's probably my own hang-ups, but like in when you were like saying like, you know, coming of age story, you know, like as we know or whatever, you're like, I was like, well, that wasn't the original Ghostbusters at all. Like,
no, it wasn't.
And so like, I my overall feeling is that they followed up Afterlife. Afterlife was all the nostalgia, all the like callbacks, like, you know, that was like the magic of the movie is that they did a really good job blending nostalgia with a new story. This one, I felt the story was really weak. Like, and it's not because here's another big baddie or whatever, which, you know, I'll be honest, I did want to see more of what everyday life as a Ghostbuster looks like. Like, you know, like when the movie starts, they are actively ghostbusting. They've been ghostbusting for a tiny little bit. They haven't been around. It doesn't seem like they've been up and rolling for very long. But they're, you know, they're working it. They're taking calls. They're doing all that kind of stuff. And then it's almost like as soon as you are opened up to that, it is like, let's start building up the big bad. When I could have really dealt with, like, what does everyday life look like as a Ghostbuster? Like, I would have liked to have seen how they accept money. Like, that stuff's just interesting to me. And I feel like we really got cheated. They didn't go into any of that besides a couple of scenes of them as a family hanging out the base, and so that was disappointing on my part. And then coming out of this movie, it feels like they've turned this franchise into a kid franchise, like and that, like, by being heavy nostalgia and then also having the focus, you know, the certainly the main character in this movie is playing a 15-year-old kid, like, and it started to hit it hit all the tropes of that kind of movie. You know, there's a rushed in somewhat friendship, maybe possibly love interest that's kind of like weird and thrown in there, and with some, you know, mixed vibes coming off of those scenes and stuff. And you know, that's just not what I want to see in a Ghostbusters movie. To me that's not the stuff I want to see in a Ghostbusters movie. There's also a ghost in this movie that is straight up looks like a regular person, which we've never seen before besides the librarian and stuff, but she turns into a, you know, thing. Every other ghost we've ever seen in these movies have been like monsters of some sort, or like just, you know, different. And so I got really confused how this regular human talking ghost just kind of shows up. You're like, I didn't know any of this was possible. Like, I don't, nothing before had come set me up for that aspect of a story. And I wasn't digging it. Like, and they really made McKenna Grace, is that her name?
As the lead, yeah.
Yeah, they really made her the lead. And she was the character.
She was the lead in Afterlife, I thought, too.
Nah, I thought everyone got much more time in Afterlife. Like, it was completely her movie, this movie. And I really felt like she was not the best part of the first one to me. She was the weakest part of the first one to me. Only because I dislike the tropes of this kid is super smart because she just comes from this family. Like, so she understands how all this stuff works without ever looking into it or ever reading about it or ever doing anything about it. Like, so, but okay, I've crapped on it long enough. There are plenty of good things about this movie. I like the blend of old effects and new effects. Like, where, like, when you're looking at some of the ghosts, it's obviously that they're keeping the heart of what you used to see in, like, the 80s and 90s. But, like, you know, it's updating it with new CGI. I really like that. You got a fan out of me every time it doesn't look like a Scooby-Doo movie like the other one Ghostbusters did. And, you know, obviously everyone hits their marks. You know, we've got the returning characters and we got, you know, they're kind of, we expect everyone, like, Bill Murray to be Bill Murray and stuff like that. I did enjoy, there is, a nice family story being told, too. And it really was kind of laid under everything else. But that was, I liked that story a lot more than, you know, the main story we got, I think. So, everyone does their job well. Paul Rudd is as charming as ever. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say anyone really, like, hit it out of the park. You know, like, this is just one of those kind of movies, I think. And so this is where the hard question comes in. Like, I guess you're gonna, I mean, for a movie like this, you already know if you're gonna see it or not. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to talk anyone in or out of this movie, but I'm teetering on the line of, unless you're like, I mean, I'm gonna say go see it, but with the asterisk of it could have been better is where I'm landing. Like, sure, go see it. I would like to see this continue, hopefully in other directions, but, you know, I'm walking out just kind of disappointed. I sure laughed at some stuff. I enjoyed some of the stuff I was seeing. Some of the nostalgia stuff still rings real true and made me feel all good inside about it. But as a movie itself, I was kind of like, eh, I could take it or leave it. Like, it's just, that's how I'm feeling about it. So, Tim?
Well, I definitely really enjoyed this on all levels. I mean, Afterlife to me was one of the best legacy sequels that's been made in movies, as far as
agreed.
Taking an old movie and not redoing it, but giving it a new spin. And then, so I was intrigued to see, okay, we're making another one with this family. Like, let's see how they progress. And I thought this movie did a good job. As you said, the family story in this, while not the A story, was a really important story in this, and how they were, you know, obviously 2 years since, it is, I think what they said, the afterlife. And they're now, you know, ghost busting and, you know, embracing their heritage base, so to speak. And I thought it was really cool to see that. And to me, Afterlife was all about McKenna Grace's character. Like, she was Egon's granddaughter. She, you know, didn't believe in ghosts, you know, believed in science. You know, it was about her coming out of her shell, figuring out her calling, so to speak, and Egon basically guiding her into the life. And so now here she is, ready to be the leader and embrace the life, and then the way the plot goes, they kind of sideline her to give her some character development. And I thought that worked. I thought it was really interesting. Yeah, it was a ghost that we'd never seen before, a human talking ghost that she could interact with. But Egon did that to her in Afterlife. He just didn't talk. But he was there and guiding her through everything, and we saw him at the end. So now I feel like this one was like the next step for her. And yeah, you're right. There was a kind of a vibe of, was it a crush? Was it just you know, someone she needed to talk to in that moment? I don't know. Either way, I thought that whole story arc was interesting. And it's like, why can't we see a ghost like that? We've seen every other kind of ghost. You know, they kind of, I thought the whole, especially the whole scene where, with Winston's lab, I thought there's a movie in that. Like, the stuff that they're doing, they're learning on, they're experimenting on ghosts, they're learning about them, they're trying, like, what is all the stuff we've learned in this time? Like, I feel like there's a whole lore building that this movie was doing to, like, say, all right, Afterlife was the start, and now Frozen Empire is, besides the main story, is, like, we're gonna have a whole universe here. And I thought that was fascinating, too, and it kind of gave me vibes of the old cartoon as well. Like, I felt like...
It definitely borrows heavily from the cartoon.
Yes, and I feel like that this... I think I read a thing where this director who helped write the first one with Reitman, they gave him the directing on this, and he said he was influenced by the cartoon and wanted to bring some of that into this world. And I thought it was, you know, it worked. And, you know, like I say, it was a big ensemble cast that they tried to give everybody something to do. And like you said, I think everybody hit their spots, and so it really worked for me. I mean, it's nowhere near the masterpiece that Afterlife is, but it's another great entry in this franchise, and like you said, I'm eager to see some more. So I'm all for it. Matt?
I'm not all for it.
Okay. Well, you didn't like Afterlife either.
Did you not like that?
I don't remember why.
I listened to our review a couple days ago, and you were under a 2.5.
Okay.
Because you said that the ending saved it for you, but you were not into it otherwise.
Well, we're going to have a similar theme here.
Yeah, no, so it's consistent.
I thought, I agree that everyone did pretty well in their parts. And there were some interesting things that happened. I thought there was too many different storylines.
Yeah.
There was a lot. I'll agree with that.
Yeah, there was too many for me to really hone in on who I wanted to see more of and who, what character.
I
thought it was too much, and I thought they could have trimmed down some of the extra characters and some of the extra things happening and come up with a more solid movie. I did think that the ending saved the movie. I thought the ending was great. Tied together a lot of the different storylines and in a nice, fun way that give you a little bit of feels and, you know, that saved the movie for me. That's going to keep it from getting a terrible rating. You know, it was interesting to see some of the old ghosts. Not Slimer. I hate Slimer. I will always hate Slimer. We know
you don't like Slimer.
You know, we saw a few old friends, that's cool. And some of the nostalgia stuff is cool. But overall, I felt that the story itself was a little bit weak and disjointed, and there were too many different lines of it. I wouldn't recommend this movie, honestly, myself. Obviously, you're going to see it if you're into Ghostbuster lore and you've enjoyed the other movies. You should see it in that case. But I don't know about anything more than that.
It feels like to get the full capacity of what they crammed into this movie, you need to go see the original two again, you need to see Afterlife, and you need to watch the cartoon show. Because of all the stuff they were kind of throwing at it.
And that's
I don't know if you need the cartoon show, but there were some nice nods in it, yeah.
Well, that's a heavy load to invest to enjoy this movie.
And I got to say, and this is one of my biggest pet peeves of this movie, and it's been weighing on me whether I was going to bring it up, but I was like, I got to. It's incredibly petty. I want to warn everyone.
I'm interested.
You don't show me the ghost-busting gauntlet in the trailer and in the movie and never see it used. Like, it's in the trailer and in the movie, what's the Annie Potts' character's name?
Yeah, Janine.
Yeah, she puts it on at one point and there's like a button to it and stuff like that. And I was like, and I saw it in the trailer too. I was like, oh, I want to see what that does so bad. Like,
That was a
huge, and when I saw her put it on, I was like, oh, okay, here we go. And then, nothing. I was like, oh, man.
That's a fair point.
So.
Because they did focus on it, you're right.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that until you just said.
So, anywho, getting down to it. Tim, do you remember what my rating system was for Afterlife? Just curious.
Thinking about
probably
it.
Probably the Stay Puft Marshmallow.
It wasn't.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, getting down to our rating system here. How many I'm just gonna go with Fire Masters.
Okay.
Yeah. Which was one of the more needless storylines.
It was fine.
And it was rough for me. Yeah. So, zero being the worst, because then you have none, and unless you're me, that's not good for people. Five being the best, because then you want all the Fire Masters. You got yourself a little Fire Master troop. So, Matt?
I did like the Fire Master plot. By the end, I liked it.
Yeah, it was a rough start. I'll agree.
But it was a rough start, and But anyway, I'm going to give this 2.2 Fire Masters out of 5. I thought that, you know.
Gave Afterlife 2.4, so that's consistent.
Okay, yeah, I thought this was worse than Afterlife. But again, I came out of it feeling not terrible because of the ending. So, the ending pulled it together. Keep making those endings, guys. Keep making the endings. That's me.
Yeah, I am much higher. I'm under a 4, but I'm at a 3.8 I really enjoyed this. Like I said, it's not it doesn't reach the heights of Afterlife, but I think it's building more lore and another and more world. Like I said, more movies to come. I would be excited to see them.
And I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. And then, but since you said it, I do have to say that the disappointing thing about Winston's Labs is that they look like they're from the 1980s too.
I think, but that's the idea.
Why?
I think because...
Like, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like,
I feel like if Winston...
They're still using them, the same equipment they created in the 80s.
I think, yeah, you know.
So...
But I get it.
Anywho, I'm... This is a toughie. Surprisingly, I'm going to go a little bit above Matt. I'm at a 2.3 is where I was before we started. And I think that has kept true. Now, let me explain why I hated the Fire Masters. So, and in general, I guess my sum up comments about this movie are the Ghostbusters movies were adult movies that were PG enough that kids could watch it. These movies are kid movies now that they slide in stuff for the adults. And that makes two very different movies to me. Which I get. I'm probably on an island here. About this stuff.
Well, with the kids being the leads now.
Right. I think that's what feels off about these movies. I mean, I really enjoyed Afterlife. The mixture of nostalgia and everything I thought was banging. But, so, yeah, that's what makes these movies feel weird. And the Firemaster plot line was just another... It was like cramming in another Hollywood trope at this point that we've seen over and over and over again. Oh, I'm nothing special. Oh, I'm special. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I'm going to magically do it in a big way that never should have happened because I don't... Yeah.
Yes.
It's just, here we are again. So, that's me. And the Fire Master subplot.
All right.
Well, any last thoughts?
No, I think we're good.
Okay.
I'm a little bit indifferent towards Slimer, but I appreciated seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it made it nice because in this movie, they make it seem like he's been hiding in the attic of the Ghostbusters firehouse the whole time. But that's probably a callback to the show because in the show, he was their mascot.
Yeah.
Like, he was around all the time.
Oh, yes.
And what I like about it, they're not like scared of him. They're just like, oh, you.
Yeah.
Is where they're at with him.
Oh, you. Yes, I never liked the show because of that.
Slimer was the... Well, again, it was a kid show. The ghost is going to be the fun one.
I'll give credit where credit's due. I do appreciate the fact that they address... Some of the things they address in this movie are like, you needed to address that. We have one containment field for the last 40 years.
Yeah, there's no... And it almost like, burst in...
What's happening?
In one.
Yeah. That was... I like that stuff. That's where you got over a two for me, is those clever little details.
And I enjoy getting Walter Peck back.
I didn't know I needed, but here we are. I got it.
And having Atherton back as the snotty guy again, he's a great foil for the Ghostbusters.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Matt and Todd Go to the Movies, where we reviewed the movie Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and we gave it an average rating of 2.76 repeating. And so that's a little bit above average, mainly powered by Tim's enjoyment of this.
I think I'm repping Eden here. Who it would.
We'll see. I invited her.
Loved Afterlife.
But I don't know. I don't know about this one.
Afterlife was her favorite. She was like, I think she was at 4.5, 4.7 or something like that.
Interested to see how she feels about this one. Though.
Me too.
Yeah. Well,
I don't remember if she loved the cartoon or not.
Well, did anyone really love the cartoon,
no one
or
loved
did
the cartoon, we just all but watch I mean,
it? Like, obviously, Matt wasn't a fan of it.
No,
right. Anyway,
it's not. Well, anyway, thank you for listening, for downloading, for subscribing to our podcast. We appreciate all of you. Please continue to do that, and we will see you next time.
Da 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 da
da da
da da da da.